giving thanks for our moms, giving thanks that we can be here this day. There'll be a time of prayer for you to name a name or a concern. I invite you to say that aloud if you would like to, and then we'll pray the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray together. Lord of life, God of mercy, we praise you for all the ways you're good to us. The beauty of this creation, the goodness of friends, the gift of a church family who loves us and cares for us. On this day, we give thanks for moms, for those who bore us and gave life to us. We pray for moms everywhere on this day, for those of blessed memory who are in heaven, for all the ways they served. We pray for those who are expecting to be moms soon. Be with them, guide them, strengthen them, defend and protect and hold them up. We pray for those moms that were not able to be the sort of moms they wanted to be. Lord, give them strength and give them hope. We pray for those who have lost children, for moms who that they may have strength and your comfort in their grief. And we pray with thanksgiving for those who were like moms to us. For grandmothers, for aunts, for cousins, for all those strong, good women in our lives who held us up and taught us all we need to know. Lord, bless them, and we thank you for them. We pray for those who are close to grief, particularly Bernard family, the Siltonen family. Lord, be with all who mourn. Be with all who suffer from the storms and whose lives have been shattered. We pray for all who serve, for the amazing outpouring of love. We know your presence is not in the storm, but is in the healing and the help that comes. And Lord, use us as well. Hear the prayers your people offer just now. The prayers we pray aloud and the prayers of our hearts, mainly help and mainly thank you. And we thank you that you do help. We remember Jesus who went through all that we must go through. And he came out to life and showed us the possibility of life. We give thanks for his mom who taught him to pray and for him who taught us to pray and say together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, in a few weeks, some of our children are going to be sharing words and music about Jonah. And so we thought we'd talk about Jonah this morning, and maybe next week, and maybe a little more the next week. You remember the story of Jonah. God calls this man, he's a Hebrew, a Jew, to go and tell the Ninevites. They live way over in the east, modern-day Iraq, and he says, I want you to go there and tell them they need to change their ways. And God says, I want you to go east. So Jonah goes west. Yeah, he goes to Tarshish, which is Spain or Gibraltar. God says, go this way. He goes that way. And then something happens. What happens to him? What's the first animal in the story? A whale, a fish, great big fish. We translate in English, whale, big fish. I want to talk about some animals in the story. The first one is that fish. Now, what was that big fish's name? We don't know. Fish don't usually get names. I mean, well, there's Shamu, and there's Willie, and a fish called Wanda. Some of you may remember that. But you know, most, Jaws, yeah. But that wasn't his formal name. Jaws J. Shark, I don't know. Well, anyway, most fish, we had a fish at my house when I was younger, that had a name. My brother Matt was about nine, he's younger than me, he was about 9 years old. He went to one of these little carnivals that they set up at the shopping center near our house. And he paid 50 cents for 5 ping pong balls. And the deal was they had these rows and rows of fish bowls. And if you could get 2 or 3, I can't remember, maybe 4 of the 5 ping pong balls in these little fish bowls, you would win a prize. Matt was always the one who had eye-hand coordination, not Michael, Matt. And so he won a prize. And it was a plastic bag with a little goldfish in it and water. So he brought it home, and he put it in a mixing bowl. We didn't have a fish tank. He put it on a mixing bowl on the kitchen, the bathroom counter there. And, you know, he pulled out, and then he turned the tap, put this good old chlorinated water in on top of the fish. And he got a little grass and sprinkled around. My mother said, Matt, you know, those things usually don't live too long. I said, you know, especially in that kind of water and all of that, and they don't eat grass. And Matt said, trust me. Well, Matt named the fish. Named him Wally. Not Willie, but Wally. And it turned out, who would have known a gifted fish? He was brilliant. He was smart. He not only had a name. Matt, my brother, took his allowance and bought a real fish bowl. And bought some bright orange fluorescent gravel to put in the top to match this orange fish. Bought some fish food. And what began to happen is when anyone would go in the bathroom, the fish would get happy. And he would come to the surface. Maybe he thought he was going to get fed. He would start doing a little splashing. I'm not making this up. There's a veterinarian in the crowd. I don't know if this happens much, but this was a gifted, smart fish. And he was so happy to see you. My brother Matt would bring his friends in. You know, he said, we're going to go in there. We're going to open the door. And you just watch, and the fish would turn circles and flips and everything. My mother thought it was kind of creepy. When she would take a bath, she would put a towel over the fish bowl. She said, Wally lived in that chlorinated water for 6 years until finally he had his traditional double flush burial at sea. Well, we don't know the name of the fish in the Jonah story. But here's the thing. You know, Jonah story is meant to be a little bit funny. It's a parable. Jesus told parables, Good Samaritan, lost son, prodigal son, all kind of stories. And this is a teaching story. It's meant to be a little bit fun, a little bit of humor there, a little irony, it's called, a little satire. Because the fish didn't have a name, but the fish did what God asked it to. Isn't it interesting? God said to Jonah, Jonah, I want you to go over here and open your mouth, and I want you to save these people. And Jonah wouldn't do it. But God, the story says, appointed a fish. Same word. God sent a fish, and what did the fish do? He went over there and opened his mouth, and he saved Jonah. Huh. Interesting story. So the first animal in the story is a fish. Let me read you about some more animals. So Jonah comes out of the fish. The story continues, chapter 3 of verse of Jonah. Next, God spoke to Jonah a second time. Up on your feet and on your way to the big city of Nineveh, preach to them. They're in a bad way, and I can't ignore it any longer. This time, Jonah started off straight for Nineveh, obeying God's orders to the letter. Nineveh was a big city, very big. It took 3 days to walk across it. Jonah entered the city, went 1 day's and preached. In 40 days, Nineveh will be smashed. The people of Nineveh listened and trusted God. They proclaimed a citywide fast and dressed in burlap to show their repentance. Everyone did it, rich and poor, famous and obscure, leaders and followers. When the message reached the king of Nineveh, he got up off his throne, threw down his royal robes, dressed in burlap, and sat down in the dirt. Then he issued a public proclamation throughout Nineveh, authorized by him and his leaders, not one drop of water, not one bite of food for man, woman, or animal, including your herds and flocks. Dress them all, both people and animals, in burlap. Send up a cry for help. Everyone must turn around, turn back from an evil life and the violent ways that stain their hands. Who knows? Maybe God will turn around and change his mind about us. Quit being angry with us and let us live. God saw what they had done, that they had turned away from their evil lives. He did change his mind about them. What he said he would do to them, he didn't do. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The story starts with a fish. And then there's all these animals in there. These dressed-up farm animals. Did you catch that? My wife, Jill, and I, we are not grandparents, but we have grand dogs. My daughter, Skye, became a foster mom for a little pup that had been in a puppy mill, abused. A Cavalier King Charles Spaniel named Hannah. And so now she's become the permanent mom. And a sweet dog, a cute dog. I mean, wonderful little dog. She's shy because, you know, she was abused. I guess to compensate for her awful beginning in life, my daughter has begun to buy her clothes. So Skye buys Hannah doggy clothes. Now, she lives in Michigan, and so Hannah has a number of very nice sweaters. I mean, really nice, several kinds of sweaters. Some plaid jackets. It rains there and snows, so Hannah has a raincoat and four little rubber doggy booties, galoshes, rain boots. And, you know, of course, she also has her Halloween costume, which is real out of character. It's a red cape and little devil ears, but Hannah's a real sweet dog. And, of course, she has her Santa hat. I mean, you know, what would be... what well-dressed dog wouldn't have one of those? And Hannah is so sweet and tolerant and patient. And she just lets Skye dress her up and take pictures, you know, put them on the Facebook, send them to the grandparents and all of this stuff. But, you know, not once has she dressed Hannah up in burlap or put dirt on Hannah. But that's what's going on in this story. Did you hear it? When Jonah, still pouting, he still doesn't like this idea of going to these Ninevites to tell them to turn to God, but he does, and he enters town and he gives a 5-word sermon. It's only 5 words in Hebrews. He said, "You better change your mind or God will get you." And they do. And they do. Everybody. The people, the king, takes off his robes and puts on burlap, which was a symbol of repentance. You put on this rough cloth, it means you change, and you put dust or ashes on your head as a sign. My old life is dead and I'm starting new, and that's why we do the Ash Wednesday thing. So they have ashes and burlap, and it's not just the king, it's not people. All the cows repent, and all the sheep repent, and all the goats repent, and all the camels repent. You think there's no humor in the Bible? I mean, this is meant to be a funny story. So you've got all these cattle down on their knees with their little hooves crossed. They're wearing burlap and they're mooing and baaing their praises to God, their prayers. Do you begin to see what's happened? Jonah doesn't want to follow God, but these animals do. So you got a fish that did what God asked. You got all these animals who now have turned to God. Well, what's the next animal in the story? It's a worm. There's a worm. Jonah hopes that God will still just zap these Ninevites. He doesn't like them. So Jonah goes up on the side of the hill, hoping that he'll have a front row scene of what God's going to do to this town. Maybe send light. He builds them a little lean-to out of some sticks. God causes a plant to grow up, a little shade bush tree. And then God, trying to get Jonah's attention one more time, God sends a worm. And the word is God appointed a worm, just like God appointed a fish and God appointed Jonah. And this worm chews through the vine, and oh, it makes Jonah so mad, and God has a chance to talk to him about that. That's another sermon. So we've seen a fish who does what God says. We've seen cows and camels and goats and sheep doing what God says, praising God in burlap. And then we got a worm now that does what God says. There's a fourth animal in there. What's the fourth animal? It's been there from the beginning. It's a dove. A dove. You may not have known a dove was in the story, but there is, because the name Jonah means dove. So the storyteller is telling us there's all these animals. There's a worm. There's cattle. There's livestock. There's a fish. And they all praise God. But there's one bird who doesn't. A dove. He flies away to Tarshish instead of Jonah. Instead of Nineveh. Four animals, three of whom do the right thing. What a story. What's the story trying to teach us? Well, it's a lot of things, and we'll be exploring those in the next few weeks. But today, one of the treasures in this story is about how God means to redeem the whole world. You know, usually we think salvation is God's going to, we're just in a holding tank here, and God's going to come down and somehow scoop us up and take us eventually to heaven, and we'll be saved. But it's bigger than that. When Noah and his family went into the ark, why did he take two by two? It wasn't for food. I mean, they didn't take the two cattle in there to have filet mignon. That's not why they were there. And when they come out, God says this to Noah. I establish my covenant with you and your descendants after, and every living creature with you. The birds, the livestock, the wild animals, all that came out of the ark, every living creature on earth, I establish my eternal covenant with the earth. I'm making between me and every living creature a covenant for all generations to come. And the sign of it will be this: I will set my rainbow in the clouds. Do you get it? It's not just that God's going to save us. His idea is bigger than just us. He's going to transform the world. He's going to restore the relationship to us, harmony between us and God. And He's going to restore harmony between all the parts of it. It's a new heaven and a new earth, is what the book of Revelation said. Jesus said it in a verse you've heard, but you may never thought of it in this way. God so loved the world. It's not just the people part. It's the world. It's about the redeeming, the redemption, the bringing to completion, the fixing, the renewal, the realignment of all of creation. Paul even says it in Romans 18. He said the whole creation is groaning for what God's going to do. Well, what that means, if God has made a covenant not just with us, but all creations, and that's what this Jonah story is saying. Did you notice who was faithful in this story? It was a worm. It was a fish. It was a bunch of cattle and some pagans. It wasn't that preacher. That's what Jonah was. It wasn't that preacher man. It was all the animals. So you better be careful about how you live in the world. What you tear up, what you use up, what you waste, how you treat everything that God has made. Resurrection is about coming back to life. God's transforming this whole creation. And, of course, the second little treasure in the book of Jonah is that God's going to fix this world. He's going to bring people to Him like the Ninevites and all kind of other people. The question is, do we want to be a part of it? We can assist God in redeeming the world, repairing the world, fixing the world, reconciling the world. We can join God in doing that. Or we can fly away. We can flit off to Tarshish, our call. But God's going to do it. Here's the good news. God loves us. And God loves the world He has made and pronounced good. And God's going to bring it all, us and the world, to glorious completion. And we get the privilege of being a part of God's work in that. Tarshish or Nineveh? Choose to be where God is. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord of life, we praise You for all the ways Your creation honors You. The glory of the heavens, the beauty of animals, the trees, the flowers, the wind, the water, all that praises Your goodness. Lord, help us to join in the chorus, to love You as You have loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's stand that we might receive a blessing as we go out. Lord of life, God of mercy, giver of every good thing, send us forth with eyes wide open to Your mercy that we might see in everyone we encounter, in every bit of Your creation, Your goodness. And help us to share the blessing we've received. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.